Chapter 5. What the Saints Have to Say About Humility. Let's begin with St. Peter. In your relations with one another, clothe yourselves with humility, because God is stern with the arrogant, but to the humble he shows kindness. Bow humbly under God's mighty hand, so that in due time he may lift you high. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7. St. Paul adds, Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. St. Augustine points out, If you ask me what is the essential thing in the religion and discipline of Jesus Christ, I shall reply, First, humility, second, humility, and third, humility. Pride changed angels into devils. Humility makes men into angels. He adds, When pride has crept into a servant of God, straightaway envy is to be found there too. The proud person cannot help being envious. St. Jerome has much to say about the vice of pride. The proud are God's enemies. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The devil is the prince of the proud. Lest he be puffed up with pride, says the Holy Scriptures, and incur the condemnation passed on the devil, for everyone who glorified himself in his heart is partner to the devil. St. Gregory explains, He who seeks to gain virtues without humility is like one carrying a little dust or ashes in the teeth of the wind. It is all scattered, all blown away by the storm. St. Leo the Great counsels, Let humility be loved. Let every excess praise be avoided by the faithful. Let all prefer others to themselves. That way, when an inclination to do good abounds in us all, the poison of hate might not be found in anyone. St. Thomas More agrees, Christ the Commander teaches by his own example that his soldier should take humility as his starting point. St. Jane Frances de Chantal explains, We must serve our Lord according to his liking and not according to our own. God told St. Catherine of Siena, I am who am. You are she who is not. St. Peter Julian Eimert confides, Virtues, even the most lovable, such as meekness and humility, are very difficult naturally for us to practice. It is not easy to be meek under insult, and I understand very well why a world without faith finds Christian virtues disheartening. St. Teresa of Avila reflected, I was wondering once why our Lord so dearly loved this virtue of humility, and all of a sudden the following reason came to mind, that it is because God is sovereign truth, and to be humble is to walk in truth, for it is absolutely true to say that we have no good thing in ourselves, but only misery and nothingness. And anyone who fails to understand this is walking in falsehood. He who best understands it is most pleasing to sovereign truth because he is walking in truth. May it please God, sisters, to grant us grace never to fail to have this knowledge of ourselves. Amen. Christ told the servant of God, Concepcion Cabrera de Armida, All your ills come from pride and the lack of recollection. In general, your soul is troubled when you are deprived of praise. Affection, and consideration. These ills also proceed from the fact that you seek the creature, not in order to be led to me, but to satisfy your self-love. And should you succeed, you are disturbed and uneasy, searching for empty pleasures which can only leave a void in your heart. Make up your mind that in order to be happy, it is only necessary for you to disappear, to come down, to detach yourself from yourself, and to leave me full scope. For I alone can give you happiness in humiliation and suffering. Humility, that is the remedy if you desire to be healed. Lose sight of yourself, be convinced of your own nothingness. Endeavor to be the least before men, and the greatest only before God. Jesus spoke to Venerable Charles de Foucauld, a mystic who lived in Algeria, about his 33 years of humility. He then advised Charles, Be taken as what I was taken for, my child, unlearned, poor, of lowly birth, also for what you really are, unintelligent, untalented, and ungifted. Always look for the meanest tasks, but cultivate your mind. But do it secretly. Do not let the world know. I was infinitely wise, but no one knew it. Do not be afraid to study. It is good for your soul. Study zealously to become better, to know me and love me better, to know my will and to do it more perfectly, and also to become more like me, who am perfect knowledge. Be very unlearned in the eyes of men, and be very learned in the knowledge of God at the foot of my tabernacle. I was lowly and despised beyond all measure. Seek out, ask for, and love those occupations that will humiliate you, piling dung, digging, whatever is lowest and most uncouth. The less important you are in this way, the more like me you will be. If you are thought a fool, so much the better. Give infinite thanks for it to me. They treated me as a madman. It is one of the ways I offer you of being like me. If they throw stones at you, mock you, curse you in the streets, so much the better. Thank me for it. I am giving you an infinite grace. For did they not do as much for me? How fortunate you should think yourself when I give you such close resemblance to me. The servant of God, Father Walter J. Cishek, notes, learning the full truth of our dependence upon God and our relations to His will is what the virtue of humility is all about. For humility is truth, the full truth that encompasses our relation to God the Creator and through Him to the world He has created and to our fellow men. And what we call humiliations are the trials by which our more complete grasp of this truth is tested. It is self that is humiliated. There would be no humiliation if we had learned to put self in its place, to see ourselves in proper perspective before God and other men. And the stronger the ingredient of self develops in our lives, the more severe must our humiliations be in order to purify us. I doubt very much that Peter ever again boasted that he would never desert the Lord, even if all the others deserted him. I find it perfectly understandable that Peter, in his letter to the early churches, should have reminded his Christians to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. For just as surely as man begins to trust in his own abilities, so surely has he taken the first step on the road to ultimate failure. And the greatest grace God can give such a man is to send him a trial he cannot bear with his own powers, and then sustain him with his grace so he may endure to the end and be saved. Saint Aloysius Gonzaga warns, "The devil continually attacks you by vanity and self-esteem, and as this is the weak side of your soul, you must the more strenuously and constantly endeavor to resist him by humility and self-contempt, both interior and exterior. For this end, you will propose to yourself some rules to attend especially to the study of this virtue, which have been taught by our Lord and confirmed by experience." Venerable Luis de Granada teaches, "If you cannot imitate the virginity of the humble, then imitate the humility of the virgin. Virginity is praiseworthy, but humility is more necessary. Virginity is recommended to us, humility is an obligation for us. To virginity we are invited, to humility we are obliged. And so we see that virginity is celebrated as a voluntary sacrifice, but humility is required as an obligatory sacrifice. Lastly, you can be saved without virginity, but not without humility." St. Francis of Assisi had a specific barometer for measuring virtues. "When those who should cooperate with you do the exact opposite, then we can tell. A man has as much patience and humility as he has then, and no more.